Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys can... Is John... You're John, is he? Where is he? Yeah, could you just... You know, let's just kind of go with it. How y'all feeling? Good. Are you ready? Excited? Oh, Lord. Every 5 months I come, I need to get you all up again. Get you excited. Be verbal. Pull it out of me. I'm wearing my birthday shoes. Do you like my birthday boots? Got them from my family. I've never worn them till this very moment. Not at all. So I'm hoping they're carrying an incredible anointing with them. And that I don't twist my ankle because I'm not used to walking in them. John, is that your name? Yeah, I just want to say this to you. And I don't know if I honestly am not quite sure what I'm going to say. But just when you were standing up there, I was quite annoyed because I didn't actually get to you because Dave prayed too short. And so I started to get to you. But the whole time that you were standing up there, and you've probably been told this before, but have you been, do you know who Keith Green is? Do you know who Keith Green is? Do you know Keith Green? Have you been told this before? That you look like Keith Green. Now, I know he's dead, so this is like a while back, right? But you've got this Keith Green. Now, he was bigger than you are, all right? But I haven't met him, but I think he must have been about the same height. It's just the face and the hair and the eye. I couldn't stop looking at you. Sorry, Amelia, but I couldn't stop. And all I could think about was Keith Green. And so then I was looking at you thinking about Keith Green. And I'm like, and then I could just see this arrow. He was a man. You'll have to read this book. It's called No Compromise. He was an amazing, amazing man, a singer back then. His music was, you know, wouldn't be so popular now. But he had this passion for God that was just no compromise. You do not mess with him. And he was radically, radically saved. And so as I was watching you and looking at you, all I could see was this, it was like a sword, but on the underneath of the sword was this velvet bit. And I just had this sense that you, the two of you, as you step into this new season, but really for you, this sense of you're going to be like this sword that goes in, but underneath was this velvet. And so it's like people don't even know that they're getting cut, but they're going to get cut in a good way. And you have this way of just working your way into a place and just being soft around the edges. And people like you and they want to be with you and want to hang out with you. And they're kind of drawn to you. But as they're drawn to this velvetness with you, there's a sharpness that you never, ever need to lose. And don't get so heavy on the velvet side that you miss the sharpness, because God speaks. And a sharpness. There's such a prophetic sharpness about you and a strength and this sense of just leadership. Like, really, you are such a leader. I don't know if you know that. You are such a leader. And you have a tremendous call of leadership on your life to really lead. But you lead from a place of strength. You lead from a place of grounding. It isn't kind of you're just going to draw people to you. There's a strength in this grounding and this quietness to you that actually makes people want to come around you. And Keith Green rocked his world in the time that he was alive. He absolutely rocked his world and would not move and would not compromise. And I had that same sense about you. There's this sense that there's this calling on your life to really, really rock your world and never, ever move off of that, because it's only going to increase and only going to become stronger. And you have no idea what is actually up ahead for you. So there you go. Go on back now to wherever you were. I just had to get that out. Yeah, see, there he is. Keith Green. And John. There's John. Yeah, see, you're a bit skinnier. Amazing man, that man. Amazing. Oh, I feel a lot better now getting that. Woo! So, we ready? Okay, I'm going to have to really stick to time, I think, this time. I was in that lift. Let's just start with a story. I was in that lift. If you've seen the pictures, you don't see me in the lift. Do you want to know why? You see everybody standing up with their head in their hands. I was down here trying to breathe. All right. So I was like, I found a few minutes after we got stuck. The air was better down here. So I was down here with Beth Blois and Ollie Bolton trying to breathe. This is what happened. Okay. We were at this car park. We've been walking around all day. Been up since 1:30 in the morning. It was now, I don't know what time in the afternoon. Absolutely knackered. We get into a lift to go back to the hotel. Finally going to get to the hotel. About 12 of us pile into this. Dave and Lisa, you've got very wise pastors. Because literally, Lisa walked into the lift and was standing there. And Dave walked up and he goes, no, come on, Lisa, get out. And pulled her out as Colin Blois walked in. And then he, as he walked in, he said, well, if I'm going to die with anyone in a lift, I'd like it to be you guys. No lie. The door closes, and we're like, ha, ha, kind of all laughing. Somebody pushes the button, and all of a sudden you hear this beep, 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 and it stops, and we look at each other. And then they push the button to get out, and we can't get out. And we're looking at each other, and then they push another button, and suddenly it drops. Like the, you know, the rides that you go on, but this wasn't a ride. And I don't know how far it was, but I'm guessing it was like, I mean, in one sense you think it's not that far. When you're in a lift... And the doors closed and it goes. I mean, it literally dropped and then pulled back up again. And the emergency brake stopped it. So we're like, and we grabbed. Everybody just grabbed for the side. And we're just standing there. And we're like, what just happened? Okay, we've not landed. We're nowhere. We don't know how far we've dropped. And so we're all looking around. We're all looking around. We're pushing buttons. We're pushing buttons. It's not opening. And we're like, hello, hello. And these guys thought we were messing about. So they're like, they're just ignoring us. We're like, guys, hello, hello, hello. Nobody's listening to us. So then we push another button. And, of course, we're in Germany. So however they speak German. I can't speak German. Okay. Okay, so they started speaking. Oh, I don't offend any Germans. And so they started speaking German. And we're like, English, English. And he's like, moment, moment. And we're like, we don't know how many moments we have. And so... So we kind of just, at this point, you're kind of just relaxed, aren't you? You're just kind of hanging about, you know, but you're shoulder to shoulder. I mean, there are 12 of us. It said it held 13, and we had, like, Emma Lilystone and Emma Burden and Beth Blois, who are as big as Vicky. And so you figure, well, that you could have another 4 people in place of them. So we thought we were quite, but then, of course, you had Chris Denham. So anyway, so don't tell him I said that. Okay, so we're, like, we're shoulder to shoulder, yeah, in here. It started to get really really warm, like really warm, because it's warm outside. It's in the 20s. You're now in a metal lift with 12 people, no air whatsoever. So we push the button again, and we're like, English, English, and we're like, we're stuck in the lift. We're stuck in the lift. Can somebody help us? And meanwhile, we've got Dave's new assistant named Eloise. She's outside. So we're like, Eloise, get someone to help us. Get someone. They're like, okay, okay, we'll send somebody. So we're kind of just hanging about at least 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know how much time went, but it did feel, I might be exaggerating without knowing, but it felt like at least another 3 or 4 minutes. We're just kind of hanging about, waiting, waiting. So then Chris Denham's like, hey, guys, so what they do in the Bible, remember when Paul and Silas, you know, they were stuck and they were in chains. Let's all start singing. And I'm not going to sing. But then we all started singing, you know, I've been set free. My chains have broken. Or whatever that is. And so we're singing at the top of our lungs, you know. Okay, it's getting a lot warmer because we've just now 12 people singing, which was stupid, in a lift. Okay, the mirror behind us is completely now all covered, fogged up, you know. So we're like, okay, it's time to get out. This has been fun. This has been funny. You know, let's get out. So Karen's by the door. And so she's like, Eloise, Eloise. And Eloise is like, yeah. And she and Karen said, update. We need an update. And Eloise went, you want lipstick? No, update. So then they're like, well, they've got a guy come in. It'll be about 5 minutes. Okay, that was about then when we're like, Rachel discovered there's air down below. So we're all down here, and it was just that little bit. So we're trying to breathe down here. And then the guy comes, right? And so you hear all this noise outside, and you're like, oh, we're going to be set free. We're going to be set free. And you hear some stuff happening, and then just dead silence. And we're like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? And Eloise is like, that's never good. She said, well, they got the first door open, but they didn't know there was a second door. And they're not quite sure how to get the second door. But don't worry, we'll work on that. If I'm honest, it was at that moment that I started to get really, really nervous because it was getting really, really warm in this lift. Now, you've got 10 preachers in this lift, so you're going to hear this 10 different ways. For months, this is going to be told, and all of it is correct, right? And so, you know, we were nearly dead in there trying, you know. Okay, so we're all stuck in there getting really, really hard to breathe at this point. Really hard to breathe. And you could actually feel all of the energy kind of, like, suddenly everybody's looking at each other thinking, flip, this is serious. Like, this is really serious. Praise God Almighty for Steve Bullock. Is that his surname? For Steve Bullock. Forever will be our hero. Because he was outside. I found out later, I talked to Dave Gilpin. I said, so, Dave, what were you doing when, like, half your staff was stuck in the lift? So were you praying? He's like, no, I'm sorting out my Instagram pictures. Dave! Anyway, Steve cared about us. And so Steve was, like, looking at the outside of the door from what we understand and realized there's a certain kind of latch on there. The guy that was supposed to know how to fix it didn't have a clue what he was doing. And he went off. I don't even know where he went. He went off somewhere to do something, right? But Steve understood you had to get this latch. And so flicked this latch. And it had to have at least been 20 minutes. Tell me it was at least. We'll make it 2 hours. That we were stuck in that lift, right? And so when the door opened, it was like, and even the guys on the outside said this rush of hot air. It was only then actually we realized how serious it was, because we came, this rush of cold air, which was, you know, in its 20s, that was cold to us, came into the lift, and this rush of hot air went out, and you literally had to, like, step, I mean, you can see in the picture, step up to get, so it had fallen quite a distance. That's my story. All right. I know. I could have made it more dramatic, but we don't have time. But moral of the story is take the stairs and or have Dave as your pastor who knew what to do and not go in the lift, and or don't go with Colin who says, oh, I'd love to die with you guys in here. Thanks, Colin. Colin was freaking out. Can I tell you that? He was serious. He may never admit it. I think he will admit it. But he was the freakiest outers were Rachel Taylor and Colin Blois, right? He's just standing there with his head up, and he didn't want to look at anybody. He didn't want to touch anybody. He wasn't even joining in having fun. He was just, I mean, he went white. Rachel Taylor said to Simon, her husband, so if the lift does fall again, if I'm on your back like piggyback, would you get killed and I'd survive? And he's like, Rach! And she's like, our children need one of us alive. You know, so it's amazing what goes through your head. You get into this survival mode, don't you? You know, I'm thinking, stop breathing, people. I need the air. You know, Chris, close your mouth. All right, so we are in a month of kind of breakout, you know, I think all across the different locations. It's breaking out into a new season. And I put this, we're going to break out of where you are to break into where you are going. And I've got a couple of things that I'm going to read. What I feel like today, I'm quite excited about it. I'm going to tell a story here. We're going to talk about something. I'm going to tell a story here. We're going to look at something. And then by the end, you're going to see the connection between these two and how it actually applies to the Epstein and also applies to you guys. Because we are moving into a new season, yeah? We are moving into We're moving into a new era. Sorry. We're moving into a new era. Sorry if I say season. I really mean era. We're going into a new place. I'm so glad that I didn't title the message a new season when Dave was up here. But I love what he shared about communion, because what he said about communion actually really fits like hand in glove with what I sense that God was saying for me to tell you guys today. And what I feel like, there's going to be a couple of things I'm going to throw out there, and you're just going to take that, and it's going to hit your spirit. I want you to open up your spirit this morning to really let God speak to you, not just about this new place we're going, because what can happen, and yes, I do talk very fast when I'm limited on time, what can happen is that we get so excited in one sense about the new thing, is that you come here and you think, okay, we're going into a new venue, they've got Jen Baker who talks real fast and is like pumped you up, that you can almost want to sit back and go, know what it's going to be, know what she's going to say, rah, 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 rah. I know. I understand. Because if I were you, I'd be thinking the same thing. But God has, I believe, and I mean this genuinely, I'm not just saying it, some very specific things that he's going to speak into, some very specific situations that you have. We're going to start by looking at Exodus chapter 3. I've probably read it before when I'm here because it's one of my very favorite places to read from. But there's something that I saw the other day in here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw, and though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy ground. He said, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, I'm going to skip down a little bit because we're going to come back to this. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, the bit that I didn't read, basically, God spoke to him and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to take people into the promised land. And Moses said, who am I? How do you go in seven verses from here I am to who am I? Here I am, God. I'm ready, God. Woohoo! New era. Who am I to do that? Seven verses. That's all it took. Sometimes it takes us 7 seconds. We're in church. I worship you, God. You're awesome, God. I believe for anything, God. I've got faith for it, God. This healing's going to happen. This breakthrough is going to happen. I can see my family getting saved. Yeah, God. And we walk out those doors and we get in the car and we receive a text of bad news. And we think, who am I? I've got no faith to believe God for that. How many of us have made the journey from here I am, God, to who am I, God? And even as we move from a place here, as you move from a place here, yeah, here we are. Wow, come on, this is great. There could be a sense upon arrival of, who are we? Who, what did we think? Who are we? Didn't realize that mountain was there. Didn't see that giant. Who are we to do this? What I love in verse 5, only saw this last night. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. This is what I realized. Every time I've realized that before and read that before, I've always thought it was almost the sense of God saying, I'm holy. If I were a guy, I could do that better. But I'm holy. You know, just holy. I am God. You are worm. Take off your shoes. You know, that sense of you're not good enough in one sense. Has anybody else ever read it that way? Come on, I am God. This is a holy place. You're not. So therefore, honor, respect, and take off your shoes. There might be a part of that to it. But the way that I read it last night was God saying this. He was saying, not because Moses was bad, but because God was good. You've got the goodness of God saying, come here, Moses, come here. Moses says, here I come. And Moses gets to a certain place and God says, stop right there. Stop, 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 stop. Take off your shoes because that place is holy. Not because you're bad and you need your shoes off, because I am good. And that holy place right there contains my holiness and my goodness and everything that I want to give to you. The presence is here in this place. My goodness is here. I don't want you to walk by it. I don't want you to keep going. I don't want you to miss this. You guys, we are being drawn. And when you go to the Epstein, you're drawn into like a circle. And you've moved into that place. And I believe God has said, stop right there. Stop. Take off your shoes. Not because you're bad, because I am good. And in this circle and in this place, you're experiencing the presence of God and the holiness of God and the goodness of God. And if you ever sense God saying, stop, stop, stop right there. Stop. It isn't because he's out to punish you. He only ever wants to bless you. In that place, stop. Because I'm holy. And you receive my holiness and my presence in this place. So here I am, God. Oh, now I'm in a circle of your grace and of your holiness and of your goodness. But then what happens next? Verse 6. He said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, this is the bit I didn't read. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them. See the goodness of God. I've come down to rescue them from the band of the Egyptians and bring them out of that land into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of all the different ites. And now, verse 9, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians have oppressed them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. First, God says who he is. Then he says why it's necessary. And then he says what the responsibility of Moses was. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I am. The reason you need to know that is because why? The next thing, I'm calling you to go into the promised land and overcome all of the ites. Now, the who and the why is okay. We get all right with that. Oh, I know who you are. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are an awesome God. You are a God who provides. You are a God who is with me. I'm in your presence. I'm in the place of goodness. I'm in your holiness. That's who you are. You're taking us into a new era. We're going to a new place. We're about to take territory. Oh, come on, God. I can see the why. I can see the promised land. I can see why you're needing us in that place. And then he gets to, it's your responsibility. And what does Moses say next? Who am I? Who am I? We can get to a place of praise and worship, but then when it gets to the responsibility, wobble. And not because we don't want to do it, because we don't think we're up to it. A bit of a wobble. I was thinking this. Now, I've never been married. I've never been in, like, had somebody in love with me or in love or anything like that. But I'm imagining from friends I know, it would almost be that same sense of, you know, the person's right, and you know this is good, and you know you're heading that right direction, and it's going to be awesome, and we're eventually going to get married, and this all feels so good. But there are moments in there of, like, but who am I? What if they really knew me? What if they really saw into that place? What if they really knew that bit about me? And we can be all, yeah, and then, yeah. And yet, what I love is how God responds in verse 12. God said, I will be with you. This will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, this is what he says. I'm with you. That's his presence. It's going to work when you've brought the people out of Egypt. When you've brought the people out of Egypt. When you've brought the people out of Egypt. I'm with you. It's going to work. That's my plan. And then what does he say? You'll worship God on this mountain. We are going to celebrate at the end. So you've got his presence, you've got his plan, and you've got a bit of praise in there. We need to worship him now for what we are going to thank him for later. As you go into the Epstein, you need to worship him now for what you are going to thank him for later. You see, when I did the skydive a few months ago, I don't think I've been here since I did the skydive, and it was absolutely amazing, and I loved it, and you're free-falling for 60 seconds at 120 miles an hour. It just sounds cool to say it, right? And so you're flying through the air and all of this. Well, before that, right, my mantra, before getting onto this plane, because I was slightly nervous, to put it mildly, was focus, do it, get through it. Focus, do it, get through it. Maybe not the best mantra, but it worked for me. And so we're in the plane on the way up there, right? And I've got this guy clipped to me. Has anybody ever skydived before? Andy has. Is anybody else? Have you in the back? Did you like it? Okay, good. It is amazing, right? So you're in this plane and you're going up and he's cooked and like four little hooks about that big are keeping you alive, right? And so you're kind of like nearly sitting on this. I mean, in fact, at one point, we're about 13,000 feet up or something at that point, and he's trying to tighten it. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Well, anyway, I'm already in. So he's tightening it up and he's like, get your hips on my hips. And I'm like, I'm not used to this. Okay? And so like you're like squashed against the guy, right? But then I think, okay, the whole purpose is he's keeping me alive, so do what you need to do to keep alive, right? And so one by one, they're jumping. Dave goes first, and he gets the edge, and he's like, whoosh. And that's when I got nervous. I'm like, oh, flip, you go fast. Another one at the edge. Whew, whew, whew. And so then it's us, you know. So where he stands up, and then he says, he's screaming because you can barely hear. You're tall, but you're slight. Get your feet off the ground. And I'm like, ah. So I'm holding onto my harness. Pick up both feet. So now I'm swinging like this, right, in the airplane. And so he's got his legs out. My legs are in between him. And he walks over, so we're back here, he walks over to the edge of the plane. So I'm now swinging, looking at 15,000 feet of nothingness, right? And I'm focused, do it, just get through it. Focus, do it, just get through it. What does Hebrews say? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That verse had new meaning to me as I'm focused, do it, get through it, all right, by the edge. And so we're standing there. Now, the funny thing is, I put on Facebook that I had this mantra, focus, do it, just get through it. And, you know, there's some people, oh, that's great, that's great. But there were a few people that put a comment on there. Hopefully it was none of you. But they put this comment on there. They're like, what about enjoying it? You sit there swinging like this, looking at 15,000 feet of it and thinking, oh, yes, I want to enjoy this. I want to focus, do it, and get through it. Some of you are in a place in life right now, you're like, focus, do it, get through it. Just focus, just do it, and just get through it. Just focus, just do it. But you know what God said? Jen, they're right. And then he spoke this to me. Faith worships now. Faith worships now. Not when we've had it, not when it's happened, not when I'm just giving you praise. No, faith worships now. Faith worships as I'm looking at 15,000 feet of nothingness. Faith worships in that moment. Faith worships before I land. Faith worships now. 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 God said, I'm going to be with you. I've got a plan that's going to work, and you will praise me at the end. That was the answer to Moses going, but who am I? Worship me now. Worship me now for what you're going to thank me for later. Let me say this very quickly. God never brings you into a season. Whoa, very quickly I'll say this. God never brings you into a season unprepared. He never brings you into a season unprepared. He has always put in you what you need before you go into that next season. God always brings you into a new season unprepared. God always brings you in unprepared. So God will never bring you in unprepared. He's always going to give you what you need. It's in there to go into that next season. But then he also always brings you in unprepared for what he's going to call you to do. How can you be prepared and unprepared at the same time? Moses had everything in him that he needed to lead these people to the promised land. It was already in there. But he didn't have everything he needed yet in order to say, I want to see you, God, face to face, because he was hiding his face. So he was completely prepared, and yet a part of him was unprepared. And God loves having both of those things. And we stand in between the middle of those. I have everything that I need to do everything God has called me to do. God, I need you desperately to do everything that you have called me to do. And we stand with a foot in both camps. And in that place is where we worship him now. For the Epstein, you've been prepared for what is ahead of you. All the necessary ingredients are in you right now. And you are growing the capacity to carry what the next season is going to hand you. All those necessary ingredients reside in God's grace right now, a brilliant recipe for greatness. I would rather live in a place of faith, believing for the impossible, than sit in a place of doubt, seeing the possible. I would rather live in a place of faith, believing for the impossible, than sit in a place of doubt, seeing the possible. So over here, you've got Moses saying to God, here I am. down to, who am I? Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I'm not going to read it, actually, for the sake of time, because a lot of us know this story. But it's the story of the woman, the sinner, the prostitute, who came in to see Jesus when he was having dinner with some of the Pharisees. And they didn't wash his feet. They didn't give him any oil or anything like that. They were horrible. They did nothing. They were not at all an Andy and an Alex to host him well, right? They treated him like rubbish. And so this woman comes in, this broken, sinful woman, and she falls at his feet, and her tears wash his feet, and she undoes her hair to dry his feet. And that woman in that place must be having this thought to herself, who am I? Who am I to do this for my Lord? Who am I? I'm a sinner. I'm a prostitute. I'm a dirty, horrible woman. Who am I? But her heart was drawn to this beautiful love that emanated from Jesus Christ. And that love drew her. And in that place, when she had a correct vision of who Jesus was, she was able to be vulnerable. When we understand who Jesus is, it releases a vulnerability in us that only he can do. Moses had a wrong vision. He hid his face. That's why he eventually got to, who am I, Lord? And he wanted to step away. But here's a woman who had a right vision of who he was, even as she came saying, who am I? You know what I love about this story is in the presence of Jesus, we are fully who we are. When you let down your hair in that culture, that was basically a sexual sign that you were doing. But that's all this blessed poor woman knew to do. I love this woman. I love her. That's all she knew to do. And Jesus did not in any way, shape, or form be like, thank you, but no thanks. No, that's all right, honey. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He just put his foot there and let a prostitute weep. And as he allowed her to be who she was, a sinner, a prostitute, letting down her hair. And as he allowed her to do that, notice then, what happens when you get down to verse 48? In between, you've got the Pharisee saying, oh, this horrible, sinful woman. But Jesus said to her, verse 48, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests among them began to say, who is he that he even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. You've been forgiven, that's your past. Your faith has saved you, that's your present. Go in peace, that's your future. In that moment, Jesus declared, this is who you are. She went then, who am I, to who I am. Moses went, here I am, to who am I. Church, what we need to do, and as we move, as you move over into the next time, as we in our own individual lives move forward, we need to be careful of getting into this place of who am I? Because if we stay in that, who am I, who am I, who am I, we aren't there to help the one who says, who am I, get to be who I am. We've got to get over who I am, who am I, so that they can say, who I am. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm accepted. I'm just being me, putting my hair down, and Jesus is loving me and declaring over me, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Let me finish with this story. Back in 2001 in July, I flew to Kosovo on a missions trip. And we were there for about a week. And I remember as the days went on, it was good. It was great. Did some good ministry. But I just thought, Lord, one day I woke up. I said, I feel like it hasn't happened yet. Like there's that moment when you do a missions trip. You're like, this is why I was here. And I just said, God, please, I want that moment. If I've missed it, I'm sorry. Can I have a moment? I want a moment. And I forgot that I prayed it. And the day went on. And halfway through the day, I was in Kosovo in July. Let's fast forward now to September 2011. 9/11 just has happened. 3 weeks later, we flew to New York, right? So I'm in New York. And I pray this prayer. We were there, there for a week. Did great ministry. One day I'm like, God, but it hasn't happened. What is it? Why are we here in New York? What can we do? What can I do to help? And so we're in New York City, which was devastated after 9/11. And halfway through the day, the team leader, I was leading the team with someone else, and he said to me, hey, Jen, do you mind going down to the subway, tube station, getting all the tickets that you need for the team? We had 70 teenagers with us. So he said, you go down, get all that we need, wait for us, we'll meet you there. Cool. So I went down the subway station, got all of our tokens. My pockets were just filled, okay, 70 tokens, right? And I'm standing at this subway station underneath a bridge. It was just like you can imagine in a film, right? It's raining, it's cloudy, you're under a bridge in New York City, it's kind of dreary, nobody's around, and I'm there with a whole bunch of tokens just hanging out in my pocket, yeah. And suddenly I see this guy start to walk over. And he's watching me, and I can tell he's kind of pacing back, and he's watching me, and so my heart rate is like, and I'm looking around to see if anybody's around, and nobody's around, and I'm kind of trying to move to the edge. I knew I needed to stay there, because that's where they were meeting me, and they were due to be there any minute, and I'm looking around, and nobody's there, and he finally starts coming toward me, and I'm like, Jesus, 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 and he came forward, and he, bless his heart, and he went, time? He just wanted to know what time it was. I'm like, oh, yeah, and I showed him my watch. And he said, thank you, in his accent. And he started to walk away. And for whatever reason, I said, excuse me, where are you from? And he turned around and he said, Kosovo. I said, Kosovo? I said, I was just in Kosovo 2 months ago. I said, it was there. It was amazing, lovely country. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And he's looking at me with that, I have no idea what you're saying. Look, you know, in his face. And so I said, oh, sorry. I said, I was in Kosovo. He said, you Kosovo? I said, yeah. I said, 2 months ago, I was in Kosovo. He went, and now, and when I was there, yeah, there was two cities. I flew into Pristina, and we hung out in this little town called Mitrovica, right? So I said, where are you from? And as I said it, literally in my head, I'm looking, Jen, what a stupid question. You don't know Kosovo. So I said, where are you from? And he said, Mitrovica. I said, I was in Mitrovica. I was there. I was, you know, you Mitrovica? I said, yeah, I was in Mitrovica. And he said, you know bakery? I said, yes, I know the bakery. He went, my bakery. You own the bakery. I said, he said, my bakery. And I said, why are you here? And his eyes welled with tears. And he said, there are no flights, basically. In very broken English, he explained, there were no flights. He couldn't get a flight. He couldn't go home. And he said, my family, he was missing his family. And then he pulled out a picture and he showed me a picture of his extended family. And he said, died in war. 5 of them out of about 10 died in war. He said, I miss family. And I looked at him and I said, do you know God? I said, God? And he went, I said, that'll do. I said, yes, God. I said, do you know God? And he said, yes. I said, God sees you. He sees you. He sent me here to say that he sees you. It's going to be okay. And about then, I heard all these teenagers coming up, Jen, we got to go. And it was literally, again, it was like a film. I said, he sees you, as they're literally pulling my clothes. And I put my hand up, and he put his hand up, but we missed each other. And they literally dragged me away from him. And I just kept saying, he sees you. And I got in the subway, I just cried. I said, God, that's my moment. That was my moment. God, thank you. I got to be part of that moment. To thank God, loved that man so much. that 2 months prior, he sent me to this tiny town in Kosovo to bring me to New York City to within one 15-minute span of time under one bridge of the thousands of bridges in New York City to have me standing there to have him wonder what time it is. Don't tell me there's no God. Don't tell me God does not see your situation and your heart and what you are going through. So don't say, God, who am I? You stay in the place of God. Here am I. And I will worship you now for what I'm going to thank you for later. Because there are broken people out there that are saying, who am I? That are going to come to the Epstein and they are going to stand in that place and they are going to say, I know now who I am in Christ. I am saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. And I've been made free. That is the new era that we are moving into and that we are going toward. Let me pray for us. Father God, just open up your hearts and open up your hands. Father, I pray for each one in this building right now, each one in this room and outside this room that are part of this amazing new era that they are going into. I ask for an outpouring of your Spirit on them. I ask that you empower them, that you embolden them, that you give them the vision that you have for them, that they know they have everything they need, but they also know that they don't have everything that they need, and they've got all that they need to do what you've called them, but they are so dependent on you, God, to work through them. And God, I want to declare that they will not say, who am I? But they will always declare, here am I. And that we will worship you now, God, for what we are thanking you for later. And that, God, there are broken people that are being brought to even next week to the Epstein. Broken people that they're going to meet during the week, that they're going to meet on the weekends this month and next month and into next year. And that they are going to see hundreds of people declaring, who I am, who I am, who I am in Christ. And I declare freedom over them, freedom over their future, freedom over the new place that you are taking them. God, let them see things they never dreamed they would be able to see. In Jesus' name I pray it.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.